بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everyone I hope you're well inshallah so we're going to also study and go through the important text on Aqidah Aqidah Tahawiyya and in a separate video I will do a introduction to the author and the text itself most of you will know about it and if you do a quick Google search you'll find a lot out about this very important book which everyone should have some interest in and familiarity with. So this is just a text from the book right at the beginning, and I want to just go through it with you so you can understand what Aqidah is and what some of these words mean. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, qala al-Shaykh, هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. Okay, so this is an exposition of the creed, Aqidah, of the people of the prophetic way, Ahl Sunnah, and the Jama'ah, which I've translated here to be as these scholars. Now, what I want to do, inshallah, with you is to go through each of these words, inshallah, in some detail. So, the first word that comes up is the word Aqidah. Okay, let me use a different color. Maybe pink or red will do, inshallah. So, Aqidah. The first word that comes up here is Aqidah. Now, the word Aqidah has many meanings, but one definition that you can find is حُكْمُ الذِّهْنِ الْجَازِمِ الَّذِي لَا يَقْبَلُ الشَّقْ وَيُقْصَدُ بِهِ الْإِعْتِقَادُ دُونَ الْعَمَلِ So let me break that down for you. That when someone says something or some discussion is made or something, a statement is made, one is to have complete conviction in it. Okay? To have conviction in it, what's called yaqeen. What's called yaqeen, to have conviction in that. And or, in other words, no doubt. Right? La shak. There's no doubt in that. You're completely convinced of it. That's what Aqidah is, or one of the meanings of Aqidah. And so you're binding yourself. Effectively, you're binding. And that's what Aqidah is. Aqada, to bind something, to knot something, to be convinced, to be bound to something. This is very, very important for Muslims. This is why Muslims need to know their Aqidah, because they need to know what binds them to their faith. Okay. But also, one of the other translations also mentions, وَيُقْصَدُ بِهِ الْإِعْتِقَادُ دُونَ الْعَمَلِ And this is really important, because we're talking about belief. Okay, not actions. So in Aqidah, we are concerned with belief and we're not concerned with actions. Of course, actions is when you get into fiqh, right? Or what I call practical law, if you like. Okay, one of the ways you can define it. That's what Aqidah is. Okay, now some other words they use for Aqidah. They also use other words sometimes. And sometimes they call it Ilmul Kalam. Yeah? Ilmul Kalam. It's also called Ilmul Kalam in other places. So some scholars will also call it Ilmul Kalam. Some people call it Aqidah. Some scholars call it Ilmul Kalam. The reason they call it Ilmul Kalam is for a number of reasons. There's a number of reasons why we also call it Ilmul Kalam. One of them is al-kalamu fi kada wa kada. When you hear scholars speak about kalam, they'll usually say the discussion in this is this or that. So it's about talk, it's about speech, right? It's about speech, it's about conversation and these sort of things. So you're debating, you're conversing with people. Some scholars also say that in kalam you talk about God's speech because you're talking about God's speech. And you get into conversations around is God's speech eternal or is it created? Another one that when you speak, speaking has an effect, right? Language or being able to has an effect on the person, and like it changes the person, it transforms the person when you use. So this idea of rhetoric, if you like, if you want to use another way of thinking about it. Which is a science that's taught in madrasas or should be taught, which is the science of balagha, right? Making sure that you're able to speak in a way or converse in a way that the person listening, the audience understands what you're saying or to convince them, okay? Also, it's appropriate in this science to use kalam, to use speech, right? It's appropriate. So it's all about speech, and it's all to do with God's speech, okay? Also, when people debate in here, they use speech. So it's also about debating. And also, because this science relies on rational or intellectual faculties, but also revelation. So in here you'll find how they bring Quran, Sunnah, alongside the intellect together. Okay? And when you bring this together and you use it for speech, it has an effect on a person's heart. Yeah? And one of the words they use is kalima. Kalim. And kalim means to kind of like wound somebody, to be wounded. So like it has an effect upon you. Right, so that's another word of kalam as well. So this is just an introduction to the word aqidah and kalam. You can find all of this in the books, of course, and you can always reach out to me if you want to ask more questions. Bismillahi ta'ala. Now I want to go back, so let me just get my rubber and just rub out a few things. If I can do it, maybe it might not work, so I might have to do it the old-fashioned way. Okay, so I'll just go back very, very quickly and just stop here. Okay, it's not working the way I want it to work. Okay, strange. So I'm just going to go back very, very quickly. If you just give me a few seconds. And I'm going to talk about the next word that comes up, which is Ahlus Sunnah. So I'm going to stop there, inshallah, for that one. Okay, let's pick a different color. So the next word that comes up is Ahlus Sunnah. Ahlus Sunnah. And there's a whole conversation that ulama have between the word Ahla and Al, but I'm not going to go into that. All you need to know for now is Ahla is usually used in three ways. Okay, in three ways. One of them is when it's used for the wife. So you'll find in the Quran, for example, Allah says in the Quran, قَالُوا أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. You'll find this in Surah Hud, chapter of Hud as well. And Allah also mentions, for example, قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا. This is when Musa alayhi salatu salam, the Prophet Moses, said to his wife, you know, you stay here for a while, let me go and have a look at the fire. This is in Surah Qasas, verse 29. And you'll find other examples in the Quran as well. And other places, it could mean the family. Okay. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. You'll find this in the Quran. You'll also find this discussion in the Hadith. And the final meaning they use it for is it's for tabidari, like following, like followers. Yeah. So people who are of a certain group. So Allah, for example, says, Ya Ahl al Kitab, or people of the book. Yeah, or people of the book. So here's the word. So it has different meanings. Okay, and here obviously it's talking about the people who follow the Sunnah and the Jama'ah as well. So that's just an introduction to the word Ahla for you as well in Arabic. The next word is an important one, so I'm just going to go to that, jump to that straight away. You have Ahla Sunnah wal Jama'ah. There's two words here. And Ahla Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which I'm going to break them down into in separate parts, are those people who follow the Prophet, peace be upon him, the companions, and the generation after them, the Tabi'een, and also the generation after them. So the first three generations of Muslims. So three generations. That's one way of thinking about them. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the first three generations of the Muslim community as well. And also, one of the reasons they do this as well is they want to separate or distinguish from what we would call Ahlul Bid'ah, like deviant groups, from deviant groups, right? So it's a form of what we would call in sociology a form of othering. Yeah, that's also important as well. Okay, so this is something to bear in mind. So let me go back to the word Ahlus Sunnah. Use a different color. Sunnah. What does the word Sunnah mean? Let's use, hope green is okay for everyone. Maybe darker green. Okay. So Sunnah. I want to focus on the word Sunnah. I'm using different colors just so you can follow it, inshallah. Now, Sunnah has many meanings, but the linguistic meaning of Sunnah, the linguistic meaning of Sunnah is a path. Yeah. So it's a path or a way that a person follows, right? So that's what Sunnah means. That's a linguistic meaning of this word. Path or way that someone follows. Okay. So you have hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he says, Man sanna fil islami sunnatan hasanatan. He says, whoever brings a way of in Islam or something good and he acts upon it, then he'll get the reward for people who follow that. And then conversely, whoever does something the opposite, then he will be burdened with that also as well. So you'll find many hadiths that talk about this as well. But this obviously is also used for the prophetic way. Yeah, and that's how I've translated it here. Because we mean it in a specific sense. This is why language is very important. We're talking about it in the prophetic way, right? That also includes the Prophet's way, of course, but also his companions. Yeah, also his companions, because they were around with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah. So this is a prophetic way that he learned, and sometimes it can be also used for his companions as well. Okay, so that's important to bear in mind also. The final word here for today is jama'ah, right? So let me bring jama'ah around here. Al-jama'ah. Who is the jama'ah? Now the word jama'ah in the linguistic sense means when people agree upon something. Yeah, to be, let's say to be gathered. Yeah, to be gathered on something. All right. And it's the opposite, if you like, of being, if you like, divided. Yeah. What we call tafriq. So it's the opposite. So one of the ways you can define things is by defining its opposite. So the opposite is to be divided, tafriq, but to be gathered is part of the jama'ah. But the jama'ah here is obviously the prophets, the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's write that down. Wasallam. Yeah. And then you have companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Yeah. And those who follow them. So everyone that follow their ways are the jurists, scholars, all these people. And inshallah, we hope to be from them as well. Okay. And the mujtahideen, all these people who follow the prophetic way are included in the jama'ah. Right? So it's much of an honor for us as well. So Imam Shatibi, for example, he says, "Inna al-jama'ata hiya jama'atu al-sahaba 'ala al-khusus, fa innahum alladhina aqabu 'imad ad-din wa arsu wa awtadahu." They are the ones who really, you know, lay the foundations for the religion. Imam Tirmidhi, he says that jama'a ahlul 'ilm hum ahlul fiqh wal-'ilm wal-hadith. So people of fiqh, jurists, scholars, people of hadith, etc. as well. Okay. You'll also find other places, for example, Imam Allama Babarti, he says, "Ahlu shay' mulazamahu wa sunnatu fil lugha at-tariqa wa fil shar' ismu lit-tariq al-masluk fi ad-din." That is a well-trodden path. Al-tariqatu al-maslukatu fi ad-din. And this is a definition that I like quite a lot, actually, because it's very broad and it's very descriptive. Well-trodden path. The sunnah and the jama'ah is a well-trodden path, right? People have followed this way. It's a tradition that we follow. Okay, قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني. You'll find this in Surah Yusuf, for example. Okay. So this is something that you can also look at as well. Okay. So this is the meaning of Jama'a. So today we've just looked at the first passage. We haven't even looked at the entire sentence. But هذا ذكر بيان عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. This is an exposition of the creed of the people of the prophetic way and the majority of the scholars. Okay, the next lesson will continue. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.